Welcome to episode 4 of I Wish I Was Brave With. This is a special Hurricane Interruptus episode of this, as we're in Orlando, Florida, fleeing, run away from Hurricane Matthew. On this episode, I'm going to discuss faith, Hollywood, and buying the trade, because all my other stuff is back in Melbourne. Maybe floating away right now. Who knows?
Well, and also it was a pretty good book. So
yeah, but I'm doing these in order, chronological order, however you say.
I'm not helping you with that.
What with the pronunciation? But so I'm doing this special quote unquote episode of this for this
very
book.
Special.
A very special episode.
Awesome.
We got this. We got a signed trade, each of us, of this at ALA Orlando. You know, ARA Orlando, and now we're in Orlando reading it. Hey, Orlando! And it's signed by Jody Hauser. Is that how you say your name?
I think so.
Hauser. And I just read it because I had 8 billion books to read, and I grabbed a handful and brought them down here with us to the hotel to read.
You can charge my Fitbit.
Nobody cares about your Fitbit.
It's not like I'm going anywhere anyway.
My Fitbit's in my backpack, and on the way driving down here, every so often it was like, do something, and it's like, I don't give a shit about you today, Fitbit. but me and Mar both read this, and we both enjoyed it a lot, didn't we?
I really liked it. I don't tend to read, like, a lot of grown-up books, so... I wasn't gonna read it at first, but then I read it.
You read a lot of comics, though.
but not, a lot of grown-up ones. I read a lot of the ones, the kids ones.
I don't know. Those are, how can you say it? You read that Rick and Morty, and that's a grown-up comic. That's no way a fucking kid's comic.
No. That is,
And you read tons of superhero stuff.
That's a book for fuck-ups,
You read tons of superhero stuff. But I think comics are about the same.
Well, I feel like this one, actually, it was, more mature, and I don't mean that in the sense of, kids can't read it or nothing. I felt like it dealt with more mature themes, and it wasn't, Rick and Morty, which I'm a fan of, poop jokes and gross-out humor and, ridiculousness.
Well, Valiant books are more adult, but they're not, they're still superhero sci-fi books.
But I felt like it was, proper adulting in it or something. I don't know.
Adulting.
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 And normally I'm more of, the Rick and Morty type because I'm a giant fuck-up, so whatever.
No, you're not.
But I liked the book a lot. I think one of the most important things is that, the book has really excellent representation for people that aren't familiar with faith. She is, people, when this book was coming out, they were very, there were a lot of people that were very upset because it featured an overweight superhero, and people were, flipping their shit over it because,
yeah, I heard
the thought is that, it's glamorizing. There's this whole thing, if heaven forbid you allow people to exist and you accept them for who they are, because then people are like, well, you're glorifying fatness and
ridiculous. I remember it got shit in two different ways. One, people were like, oh, you have a plus size person in a book. That's wrong. And then other people were mad because she doesn't talk about it in the book.
Yeah, it's not an issue in the book. And that was something I really enjoyed is she's just there. She doesn't have to justify her existence, and that was something that it was I don't know, leading up to the book's release, people were absolutely flipping their shit. And it's like, oh, okay, because she should be Supergirl with a tiny waist and giant tits or something. I don't know. And that's not degrading Supergirl as a character. It's just that there are sometimes people draw some of the female superheroes. And, I'm thinking of, Angela, that was in the Guardians of the Galaxy book.
Angela? Whatever. However you say her
whatever.
Name.
She was almost naked and,
Yeah, but that's the way that character basically is. But
but why?
I don't know. She's an angel. Maybe all angels are all naked.
But why?
I don't know.
See, there's no proper answer to that question. Why do you draw your female superheroes almost naked?
Because they're female. Blah, 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 blah. Because they're...
Because you want to see tits and ass. Just say it. Just say you want to see tits and ass.
Dude, you have people I remember a couple of days ago, I forgot what the subject was, but it basically came up with guys were basically saying well, it's not fair that we don't get these things to whack off to and shit like this. Like, basically, it was what they were basically saying. And then it's
I'm writing down. Could you please point me in the direction of the folks who were saying this?
I'm pointing you at the internet.
Hi, dear men of the internet, apparently. Women
or outside the internet.
Women do not exist for you to jerk off to. Okay, thanks. Bye.
But it's alright to jerk off to them.
It's absolutely alright.
And men, too.
It's alright for people to be...
And small animals.
Could you shut up for a minute? Small animals?
It's a hurricane. What do you expect me to be saying?
You know, like, there's a difference between things being sexy and things being sexualized. Like, people are allowed to find other consenting adults sexy. But when you start assuming that the only reason they exist is for your sexual gratification, you're a fucking asshole. Ryan, why did you walk away? I can't carry the show on my own. What are you doing? You're leaving me here alone unsupervised.
I'm turning the air down because this hotel's hot.
But no, in all seriousness, you know, consenting adults are allowed to find other consenting adults sexy. But, you know, a character does not exist just for you to fucking masturbate to. Adult women do not exist for you to comment on their appearance and tell them to smile and to think that, like, their body is somehow your public property that you are allowed to control in some way. Like, fuck off.
I turned up the air.
Bring it, internet.
It smells like fart in here now. I think Florida's
actually,
one big fart
was,
right now.
I'm sorry, I think that was you.
That wasn't me.
You're a liar. It was you.
That's me. I just ate a big breakfast this morning.
It smells good. We got, like, the last hotel room available in Orlando, guys.
I think there's a skunk outside, actually.
Oh, I bet you it's those girls next door smoking weed outside. I bet you. They were out smoking shit last night.
Oh, yeah. Probably. I don't know. Dude, it does smell like skunk, though. But I enjoyed this book, didn't it? I remember beforehand, a lot of people say it was pop culture heavy, and I actually don't think it is. She makes comments here and there, but they're not heavy-handed pop culture comments, and they, like, they're done in a very good context way, so you don't have to get them to enjoy them.
Yeah, I didn't really have a problem, because, like, a lot of times I have trouble with some books, like, especially if... People are going to be pissy if I say this, but if the author is older than I am, and a lot of times they make jokes, like, I might not get the point of reference, but I get that... Like, I can basically, like, just jump over what they've just said. Because, like, a lot of times I have problems with, like, people that make jokes about stuff from, like, the 80s.
Well, that's why...
Because I'm a 90s kid.
That's why context is very important, yeah. Because, like, you don't... Basically, in any writing, not just when you're writing pop culture, you got to get the context over even with the references. Because, like, I was reading adult books when I was younger. I'd never read kids' books or teen books. So I didn't know some of the stuff, but most of the authors I read were good enough where I didn't have to get the context. I know it smells.
Sorry, I'm distracted. And I mean, and I don't know, like, you know, I'm not saying, like, specifically this woman's, you know, like, older than me and writing stuff I don't understand or something.
There was stuff that you didn't watch. Like, there's Buffy references.
Yeah, I didn't watch Buffy.
And stuff like that.
I didn't get into Buffy.
And also there's context in the fact that there's characters in here that you've never read.
Yeah.
Because this is your first Valiant book. You didn't know anything
about
Archer and Armstrong or Bloodshot or any of these other things or Harbinger, but you were able to get the context from the story.
I think that speaks to that the author did a really good job of, like, building up the world in this story so that, like, you get that she's part of a larger world, but you don't necessarily need all the details from the outside world. So I think that's something a lot of creators miss is, like, that you need to have really strong world building.
And Valiant comics are very connected and continuity heavy, so I think sometimes they can tend to be hard to jump into, because Valiant books are very, there's, like, throughout all the books, there's a lot of conspiracy theories, and there's a lot of inner workings and stuff, and they're very connected. Unlike Marvel books, where you might have 800 people fighting in Manhattan at the same time, and then run into each other. In Valiant books, even going back to classic Valiant and new Valiant, like, if people are in New York City, they'll tend to run into each other or something like that. They've always been very connected in what's going on in them, and they always try to plan stuff out, I think, really good. And I think this book, unlike some of the other ones, trades I've read, which were good, but I think somebody like you jumping into some of the other ones may have not have been able to enjoy it as much as this one, which was probably, I think on purpose, they probably went out to write something with this character because they knew this was going to get a lot of buzz going ahead of time that, like, make it more of an introduction to the universe and stuff. And this is, like, an advanced reader's copy.
Although, the first volume is out now.
That's like, the first volume.
Yeah, it came out shortly after we got our advanced reader's copy. Yeah. But, no, I really enjoyed it. Like, I didn't feel like it was continuity heavy. I liked the story. It was, you know, it wasn't quite an origin story, but it was, you know, it was like a good, like...
Well, I'm glad it wasn't an origin
beginning
story.
Beginning of an adventure, you know?
If you want to get her origin story, check out the Harbinger books.
Yeah.
And that gets into her origin. I also like her costume design a lot. Like, I like the color scheme, and I also like the almost cape aspect, but it's not a cape. It's almost like a jacket that goes up and then kind of creates a cape. I liked all that. And her secret identity I thought was a good job because she does look different.
And it almost had a little bit of, like, the Superman aspect to it, like, with the way Clark carries himself very differently and, you know, like, just, like, slight body language changes, too, that make him a completely different person from Superman.
But I also like the fact that in, a little bit of a spoiler in it, and, like, there's one part where she has to reveal who she is, and it's the classic superhero thing of, like, bad guys are here, but the only way I can help is reveal who I am. And I like how she's basically like, fuck it, I'm going to help people. You know, and it was like, I love that because it wasn't like this convoluted thing. She was just like, I got to help people. Fuck it, I'm not going to delay.
Although, in all seriousness, the best reveal is fucking Iron Man, all right? Like, shit. I'm Iron Man, bye.
Yeah. But yeah, I enjoyed this book quite a bit. I thought Faith was good. I want to read more of it. And, it'd be interesting to see, because Valiant just announced their first, I think it's going to be an Amazon series of Ninjak. He's kind of like this high-tech ninja character, and it's going to be their first TV show, and they're going to be doing movies, like Bloodshot's going to be one. He's this character that's got these, like, nanites in him that makes him heal and stuff. He's like a soldier, and it helps him heal and stuff. And then you got Harbinger, which... If you want to compare it to anything, Harbinger's the group that she was originally with in that is kind of like X-Men in a way.
Okay.
And then they got Exo-Man of War, say Iron Man, basically. Because it's basically an alien
suit
costume.
I'm not going to remember any of these names.
I know, but like, the original Exo's really good. It's really brutal because it's basically like a barbarian. This thing, they used to say it's Conan in a can, basically.
I also did not read or watch Conan.
You think, yeah, but you know who Conan is.
Yeah.
But, like, picture, like, a Conan brutal character with Iron Man's armor. That's basically what it is.
Okay.
In, like, the modern Valiant books, he ends up taking over, like, half of Europe. He conquers, like, half of Europe, okay. I think it is, and stuff. But all those characters, all those going to be into movies. My favorite Valiant character of the old Valiant comics was actually a character called Shadow Man. Which I loved, which is like...
You're doing, like, a huge info dump on me right now. Like, see, I need it, like, spread out, kind of like how, like... I love the fact that Marvel has, you know, essentially, like, a 20-year plan.
This is not just for you, Mara. This is, like, for everybody.
I want to explain, like, I'm glad to see, like, other groups are, like...
But that's what they're doing.
Yeah,
they got
like,
a big
plan. Yeah, like, they're
putting
a plan together. Like, I'm really happy to see that. And I hope that they have it in, like, a good schedule because, like, the way I've been able to handle it is, like, you know, we learned that... The Marvel movies were coming out, so I was able to, like, buy up a collection of stuff so that me and, like, my readers could get into it. And then, like, with the TV show stuff, you know, we've been able to take it, like, every 6 months or whatever and be like, okay, Daredevil's coming, and well, then Jessica Jones, well, and now Luke Cage. And,
well, Valiant has something for everybody, because, like, even, like, Ivar the Time Walker is a time travel character. So, like, yeah, it could appeal to the Doctor Who people and stuff like that. Which I love the Ivar character. He's part of, like, these four characters in Valiant, which are Immortal Brothers. And one's Ivar, and one's the big guy. It's in Archer and Armstrong. It's in an issue in his trade.
Okay.
He's immortal. And then there's another one called the Eternal Warrior. His name's Gilead. He's the Eternal Warrior is what they call him. But they're an immortal group. I love the old Archer and Armstrong books, too. And the new ones are good, too. There's this scene in the old Archer and Armstrong, though, which was, like, one of my favorite scenes, and it's kind of stupid but practical. They're being hunted by these monsters. Dinosaurs. In this book called Unity. And the hide, they basically crawl in a huge pile of crap and hide inside of it. And it's basically like, that's genius, though. It's like, yeah, because it wouldn't smell you inside that. Bounty books are good. Mari enjoyed this, I think, which I'm glad that it was, like, a good introductory book. And by the way, most Valiant trades, the first trade is around $9, which is a really good deal.
Yeah, they've done that. Who was the other one that did that, too?
Image does that a lot with
Image does it. Like, the first one is, like, $10. Trade. Which is really good.
Yeah.
I was really excited to see this book come out, too, because, you know, we just need more variety in the characters and more authenticity in the characters too, like, you know, having writers and artists working on these things that are women, that are people of color, you know, like just different backgrounds, because some of the books, you know, they're just so goddamn unrealistic to life. And I'm not getting into this like, well, they're superhero books, like, fuck you. Yeah, it's a superhero book, but it takes place in New York City in, like, real life, you know? So, if you're gonna... You know, this is, like, the Friends dilemma all over again. Oh, Friends is set in New York City, and there's no black people in it until...
Friends, that's just about every sitcom set in New York City.
Until, like, Aisha Taylor is on there in, like, season 8 or some shit, you know? It's, like... This is the stuff that bothers me, is that, like, yeah... You know, I can separate that people can fly or they're bulletproof or whatever. But if you're saying it's set in real life, you know, or even fuck it, you know, in a fantasy world, like, fuck you, George R. R. Martin, who's like, well, we can't not have rape in the books, but, you know, we have dragons. Here's dragons for you. Like, fuck you. Have less rape in your books. Like, it basically seems like you're getting off on torturing women, okay? You know?
Yeah. I don't see men get raped, and that happens a lot in warfare and stuff like
and
that.
And I don't want to hear the straw man argument about, Greyjoy or whatever getting tortured, because, like, oh, one dude, okay, because, like, every woman's been victimized on that show in some manner, you know.
Yeah.
And in the books and everything, like,
but to finish up this review, like, after this series, this was a limited series, after it there's gonna be an ongoing series, I guess is how it's going.
Yeah, I think that book's supposed to be coming out, like, the beginning of next year or something.
I don't know.
I was making a list of stuff I gotta buy for my adult room.
Let me look it up in the trade and see. Like, I think it does come out, like...
I just think it's really good that, you know, there's more unique stories coming out and more varied stories.
Since July 20th here, so it may have already started.
Yeah. So, like, it's just one of those things that it's like, okay, how many fucking times do you need to, like, rehash Superman's origin story and shit like that? It's like, I already know this. Like, even people that don't read comics know this stuff. Like, write something new. So, I'm glad to see something new, you know?
Yeah. So we both enjoyed this, and it was a good read for me during the hurricane. Though, an update if you listen to our Hurricane Talking with Mara podcast the other night, it looks like Matthew isn't going to hit us that bad.
Well, it already passed by, and, like, thank goodness, like, it apparently wobbled just a little bit back out into the ocean, so the eye didn't actually go over... the barrier island. I think it might have went over a little bit, like, Canaveral AFS or something, but,
Is it still the thing that they say it might loop back around?
That's for later, like, next week, and I think it would go, like, lower, like, back through the Bahamas and, like, Miami, maybe, but it passed along our shore this morning, and we're just in the outer bands of it now. We're waiting to see how the barrier islands held up, because there was some damage reported over there, so...
Okay. See everybody later.
Bye.